Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Well, I know some of you are new to the Virtue Women's Bible Study, and I just want to say hello and introduce myself. I'm Mary, and I've been coming here since I was really little. And my daddy was a pastor here for a long time, Pastor Steve Wilburn, and my husband is a pastor here now, and we've just been so blessed to be here all of these years. We have really the best church, don't we? And the best senior pastor and senior pastor's wife. We are so blessed. Well, I am super excited about today, because today is going to be our first glimpse into David. We get to meet David today, the man after God's own heart, and I'm so excited. Now, we're going to be journeying through 1 Samuel chapter 16, so you can go ahead and make your way there. And while you're doing that, I kind of want to ask you ladies something. I'm on social media, I'm on Instagram, and, you know, I've been seeing this phrase kind of pass along lately. It seems to be everywhere. And I don't know if you've seen it too, but it's just one sentence. And it says, comparison is the thief of joy. How many of you have seen that? Well, a lot of us. It's just a simple sentence, but yet it's so packed with truth. And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. Comparison. What is comparison? Well, the definition of it is the act of looking at things to see how they are similar or different. It's just comparing. It's comparing yourself or something you have to what someone else may have. And as I started to think, I thought, oh Lord, as a mom, as a woman, as a wife, as a child of God, we so often get into that comparison trap, don't we? So often, especially in our world that is saturated with social media. So I kind of wanted to see if any of you can relate to some of these comparison traps that we can get trapped in. So now for some of you moms and wives out there, you know, you'll go on Instagram, at least I know I do, and it's a depressing place because I see these moms and I see these wives, and somehow they've got 6 kids or more, and they're always dressing like the next runway model, and they're taking yoga lessons and therapy classes. They're giving the therapy classes, and they're always sipping, you know, pumpkin spice lattes hot from Starbucks, and, you know, and they always have the kids to bed on time, and then they always manage to post a cute little selfie of them and their husband on the couch at the end of the day. So romantic, you know. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, that is not my life. You know, my life, if we're being honest, looks a little bit more like this. I'm folding laundry almost every day. And didn't I just do 6 loads yesterday? I don't know how, only with one husband and one son, there's always a mountain of clothes. And, you know, drinking hot coffee, well, that's a thing of the past. I am just drinking down that cold coffee, just waiting for that caffeine to kick in. Let's go, right? And, you know, to be honest with you ladies, and I'm just going to be real here for a second, I only look like this on Bible study days and my husband's day off. Okay, the rest of the week, the other 5 days of the week, and if I can prove it to you, just come knock on my door, I am in sweatpants and freedom, okay? I don't look like this every day, okay? That is the honest truth. And by the time my son goes to sleep, I'm not snapping cute selfies with my husband on the couch. I'm looking for the ice cream and ready to hide in a hole. Now, maybe for some of you single ladies or single women or young women out there, for you, this is what happens when you go on social media. You start scrolling through, and there's all of these amazing, like, single ladies out there, and they're studying for their undergraduate. And they're always posting their OOTD. How many of you know what that is? It's outfit of the day. It's an actual hashtag. And they're always looking super cute. And then what I find is they're always in the coolest places. Like one day they're in New York on top of the Empire State Building. And then the next day they're frolicking the waves at the beach. And, you know, maybe for you, you're looking at these pictures and you're thinking, my goodness, I'm driving an old beat up car. I'm just trying to get through community college. I'm working at a dead-end job at McDonald's. And a day off for you consists of watching Netflix seasons on repeat from 9 a.m. to midnight. Because we all know, and we've seen the meme, that Netflix gives you 15 seconds to decide what to do with your life. Because that's exactly how long it takes to get to the next episode. So, maybe for you, that's what reality looks like, right? And then I think even as women of God, we get into these comparison traps. And maybe you've come in here this morning and you see maybe the worship leaders or some of us teachers or your group leaders or other women, and you look at them and you think, I could never be like that. I you know, you compare, and maybe in your group, you know, there's two or three girls and their lesson, God bless them, is always finished. And not only are the questions answered, but they used a commentary, a dictionary, an encyclopedia. And, you know, every week is in a different color ink pen. And their folder looks like it's something straight off of Pinterest. You know, and you're sitting there and you're like, my dog really did chew the corner of my folder. And I just finished my study as I was whipping into the parking lot. And then your pen ran out of ink and you had to use your lip liner to fill in the last question. Okay? And, you know, maybe you've come in for worship and you're exhausted and you're carrying heavy burdens. And there's some that are so passionate when they're worshiping, but you're worshiping too. You're just worshiping in a different way. Maybe it's more quiet, it's more subtle, it's more just deep. And even then, we can get caught up in comparison. And what does God care about? God cares about the fact that you're here. You're here. And that's all he wants. And it doesn't matter if you memorized this week's memory verse, and maybe you just panicked because there is a memory verse. But you're going to pick up those memory cards today. You got one when you walked in, and you're going to try. And you're going to try next week. And you're going to keep trying. And all that God cares about is your heart. And that's what we're going to look at today. God wants your heart. And that's it. So let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for each one of these precious ladies. And God, I know that your love for them is so deep and so wide, it is immeasurable. And God, you are just so happy that they are here. And that's all you care about. And Father, I pray that you would show us what you want us to see this morning in your word, in your scripture. That it would be nothing of me, nothing on the page, but it would be all you, God. So open our hearts, open our minds. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 16. Let's read it together. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, do you come in peace? He said, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Next, Jesse made Shema pass by. And he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Thus, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, The Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. I love that portion of scripture, don't you? It's incredible. And there's two points that I want us to kind of draw out of the text this morning. Their first point is, not your outward, but your heart. The second point is not your abilities, but his enabling. So let's tackle that first one. Not your outward, but your heart. Now, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we read in 1 Samuel 15 a little background as to where we are today. We got an explanation as to why God had rejected Saul as king, and we heard a very powerful, powerful message by Trish. It was incredible. And we learned about Saul. We learned that he disobeyed, and when he was caught in that disobedience, he made excuses. He blamed others. He tried to make himself look good. And our memory verse for that week was in 1 Samuel 15. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Saul disregarded God's command, and therefore God rejected him as king. So here we are today in 16, and God says, I want a new king for my people. I want a man that's going to be after my heart. Now, we can tell by the last verse of chapter 15 and the first verse of chapter 16 that this was really hard on Samuel. He mourned. It was difficult for him. But as we get to this chapter, it's almost as if God says, okay, Samuel, enough mourning. You've mourned enough for Saul. It's time for a new man. Time to pick someone who's going to love me. Now, I absolutely love the next scene. You know, Jesse goes, Samuel goes, he obeys the Lord, he consecrates Jesse's and his son, and he invites them to the sacrifice. This is very important. He obeys the voice of the Lord. And they're all there. And Samuel knows that God's going to show him who the next king is going to be from these sons. And I love this scene that we see in verse 6. Now, I might have heard this in a message a long time ago. I don't know. But in my mind, what popped in was kind of like a game show, because here come the sons, right? And so as I'm reading this, this song just pops in my head, and it's like, da, 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 da. And here comes Eliab. He's tall. He's dark. He's handsome. And he's just waiting to be your next king. Right? And you see Samuel, and it's almost like Samuel's dazzled, you know, and he's like, surely the Lord's anointed is before him, right? And what does God say? I love this next verse because it's straight from the mouth of our Heavenly Father, and God says, slow down. And in verse 7, God says, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. I love that verse. And that verse just hit me like a ton of bricks this past couple of weeks. God was not looking for Israel's next top model. He was looking for a man who was fully devoted to him, a man who would serve him, a man who would do his will. God was not after appearance. And I think this really strikes a chord for us as women, doesn't it? In our society nowadays, because what is it all about now? Appearance. Everything is about appearance. We laughed about it a few minutes ago. Tiffany mentioned it in her message a few weeks ago. All of the social media. We can get so wrapped up in being approved and valued and wanted just by this alone. And it's such a trap. How we dress, how we talk, our weight, our social status, how people see us on the outside. I love the definition of appearance, and if you could write it down, please do. The definition of appearance is the way that someone or something looks, a way of looking that is not true or real, external show. Wow. A way of looking that is not true or real, it's external show. God was not looking for external show. He was looking at the heart. So we kind of see this game show of sons, you know, pass before Samuel 7 times. And every time Samuel says, the Lord has not chosen this one either. So in verse 11, Samuel asks Jesse, do you have any more sons? There's got to be someone because God said no to all of these. And I love Jesse's response. He says, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he's tending the sheep. And this is where we meet David. So exciting. You know, he's not out lifting weights and taking selfies. He's tending the sheep. What a beautiful picture is that? He's a shepherd. I love it. David, the man after God's own heart, he wrote over 70 of the beloved Psalms that we read. The Psalms that we cling to. The Psalms that have gotten each one of us through some of the darkest seasons of our life. Times when we've had to trust God. Times when we've had to cling to God. Times where we worshiped God and we praised God and we waited on God. This is the man. This is him. The man after God's own heart. That's what God calls him. David didn't call himself that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be valid. God called him that. Oh, I hope God can say that about me. In 1 Samuel 13:14, that's when we see God call him a man after his own heart. Again, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, God says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. So here he comes. Here comes David in from the fields. And I love to have mental pictures if you can't tell already. And so I had to know, how old is David? You know, how old was he at this particular time? I scoured the internet and there wasn't a definite answer. But we know for sure that he was not older than 19. He was probably closer to 19 in our next chapter. More than likely, he was around 15. And one even said he might have been like closer to 10. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, 14, 15, already at this age, he was a man after God's own heart. Already at this age, he was out in the fields praising God. Incredible, incredible. And I love the way my dad used to teach 1 Samuel 16. I love the way my dad teaches. And, you know, he always used to describe David as this young kind of pre-puberty boy running in from the fields full of life. You know, hey, Dad, you know, and here he was. I love it. But then we read the scene in verse 12. So he sent and brought David in. Now he was ruddy with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. Now Samuel, the author of the book, briefly describes David's appearance. And I like that because we all want to know what he looked like. But let's be clear on something. Okay, he describes his physical appearance. He said he was ruddy. And what does that mean? Well, that just means that he was a healthy boy. He had healthy pink skin. He didn't have jaundice. And he had beautiful eyes. So they could have been light in color, which would have been rare in Bible times. And he had a handsome appearance. Now, we see the description and we love that, but let's be clear. God was not after David's appearance, okay? This is just a description. But just because God is more concerned with our inward than our appearance doesn't mean that David had to come in toothless looking like Shrek, okay? And I say that because God made each and every one of you beautiful. Regardless of what you think about yourself, you're beautiful. And why do we know that? Because Psalms tells us, and once again, beloved David, You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it is okay and it is right to present yourself as such. It's good for us to be healthy like David was and to present ourselves as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Looking nice, those things are okay. The problem lies when we put this over that. And when this turns into idolatry, that is when the danger comes. So let's not be confused on this. God wanted David's heart, not necessarily his ruddy skin. David was God's guy, and he was going to do God's will. He loved the Lord, and his heart was devoted to him. Now, my hope and prayer, ladies, is that God would really drive this truth about appearance into our hearts today, because this is not something that you're going to hear when you walk out those doors. You're not going to hear this anywhere else, that God cares more about your heart than your outward appearance. You're not going to find it on Instagram. You're certainly not going to find it on Facebook or Pinterest or on the morning talk shows or in the magazines or the billboards or the best new book in Oprah's book club. You're not going to find it in those things. And it's going to be a battle for you to remember this truth and to keep your heart focused on it. But when we come back to Scripture, and this is why we're here, when we get back to the rock solid truth of God's word, then we can take it to heart and we can believe it and we can know it and we can live by it and we can walk out of here changed. And we don't just see this truth in 1 Samuel 16. God gives us more. He gives us more, because that's a great thing about God, is he'll confirm it throughout Scripture. So we see it here, but then we see it again in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. And I'm going to read that to you, so just listen. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or expensive clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. That's what God wants. Your inside, it's back to the heart. It's back to the inside. And then we have an even more precious and wonderful example of this truth in the life of someone that we love more than anyone else in Scripture. And who is that? Jesus. Because lest we forget, God was not after outward appearance when he sent his son. And we know this because in Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3, we read this about Jesus. Listen, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Listen to those words, ladies. No beauty or majesty, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. God was not after appearance, status, or acclaim when he sent Jesus Christ as that baby in the manger. And I love something Kathy said last night after the message, because it wasn't about outward appearance with Jesus, was it? But isn't he the most beautiful person that we've ever seen? And I loved when Kathy said that because it's so true. He didn't have all of this, and yet he was the most beautiful thing, and we love him with all of our hearts, right? Doesn't that hit you? Even Jesus, there was no outward appearance. Keeping up appearances is exhausting, isn't it? If you've ever tried to keep up this, you know what a trap and how horrible it can be, because you can have everything on the outside. You can have the right clothes and the right car, the right job. You can try to have it all and be the boss. And I'm so sick of hearing that, be the boss. We're not the boss. God is the boss. Okay? But you can have it all, and you can be it all, and you can be completely miserable on the inside. It's hard to have eating disorders. It's miserable, I know. It's hard to focus on this and try to get your worth from the outside only. It would leave you empty and miserable. You will lose your confidence in Christ. You will lose your joy. It will rob you of that beauty that God wants you to have. And you'll end up being an ugly person instead of all the things that you thought you were trying to be. And when we come back today and we realize this morning that God stands up there right now and he's in this place and he says, I just want you. I don't want all of that. I don't want all of this. I want your heart. I want your love. I just want you, and that's it. Don't you just feel the burden lift? I felt like I could breathe. I felt like I could take a deep breath these last few weeks, and the tears flowed. I don't have to keep trying. I can just give him my heart. And that's all he wants. And it will set you free because God's word will set you free. Our next point is not your abilities, but his enabling. Let's pick back up in verse 12. So he sent and brought him in, David. He was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So here we see David officially anointed. And in verse 13, we read something so important. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. This is so important for us, ladies. This one sentence is so important for us here today. Because we can't possibly be those women after God's own heart like David was without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. And we see from David's life that his abilities, they were God-given. It was nothing he could conjure up and, oh, well, I'm going to be that man after God's own heart. No, he desperately, all throughout Scripture, the Psalms, we see David constantly, consistently begging God, asking God, pleading with God, give me a right heart, give me a clean spirit. God, strengthen me. God, help me to love these people. God. Constantly, he relied on the power of the Spirit, and we need to do the same. We can't expect to believe these truths and walk out of here changed today and listen to all these messages, that these amazing messages we've heard week after week. We can't possibly live them out without the Holy Spirit, or we're going to fail. We're going to fail instantly. In our study this week, we read 2 Chronicles 16:9. I love it. It says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is his. God wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you, but you've got to ask. And we might be thinking, okay, well, are we going to have an anointing? You know, are people going to break out the oil and we're going to get filled with the Spirit? No, that's not going to happen because you can ask for the Holy Spirit. You don't need someone to anoint you. You can simply just pray right now, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me. It's that easy. We can ask for him to come. And sometimes for me, ladies, it's moment by moment. It's second by second. Because I'll tell you what, yesterday's prayer at 8 a.m., that I would be filled with the Spirit and believe God's truth, well, it's getting stale today at noon. Because when that difficult person walks into your life and the cat claws are coming out, because we're women, and maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's your husband, in that moment, you better pray, Holy Spirit, please help me. Don't say it out loud, you know. Because when that person walks up to your husband, walks in the door, you don't want to say, Holy Spirit, help me, right? But in your heart, in your heart in that moment, Holy Spirit, help me. And he'll help you. We need that constant filling. My mom told me once, Mary, sometimes it's second by second. You've got to pray for it constantly. Every morning, every day. Now, as we close, I don't want to run over here. And this is so important. Let me mention really quick because of Zechariah 4:6. God says it's not by power and it's not by might. It's by my spirit, right? It's only through the Lord. It was clear from David's life. He was full of the Holy Spirit. We see evidences of this in his life later on in the chapter when Saul's men describe him. They see he was a man of valor. He's prudent in speech. The Lord is with him. And don't we want people to say that about us? Their first impression not to be this, but oh, she's full of the Spirit. She loves God. I love that. So in closing, I wanted to mention something that I don't want to pass over because I think it's really important and it's kind of a warning for each one of us. In verse 14, we read something really sad about Saul. We read something that's very heartbreaking. And it says in verse 14, now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. That's a heavy verse. My Bible commentary suggested this, that perhaps God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, had left Saul and God had allowed the evil spirit to torment him as judgment for his disobedience. That's a big deal. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to us. We don't have to fear that the Holy Spirit's going to leave us. But according to Ephesians 4, verse 30, we are told that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can sadden the Holy Spirit. Disobedience to God in any form in our life should never be taken lightly. I don't know about you, but I don't want to sadden the Holy Spirit. Do you? I don't want to grieve God's heart. It's so sad. Saul, once a man who was anointed to be king over Israel, not only loses God's Spirit, but he goes on to lose his mind. He loses his mind. And how tragic, right? So let's take that as a warning. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's be obedient. Let's walk these things out. And so, ladies, I just want to ask you as we end, what did you come in here this morning with as your number one priority? Was it this? Was it appearances? Was it your status, your abilities, even with God? You know, maybe God's looking at you and checking everything off on a list. Forget that. Because God doesn't care about any of this. He just sees right past it. He's looking at your heart. What did you come in with this morning? I want to challenge all of us, myself included, that we would leave here today and be women who are more concerned with our heart's appearance than our outward appearance, looking to Jesus as our greatest example, because we don't need any other example but him today. Let's walk out of here as women whose inner devotion to God shines through just as it did in David's life. Let's be women who ask for the Holy Spirit moment by moment, minute by minute, praying constantly every day, just like David did. And let's look forward to seeing what God's going to do in our lives as we become those women after his own heart. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we find such comfort and conviction and encouragement from you, and thank you that you love us just the way we are right here. God, would you give us hearts of devotion? Would you give us hearts of obedience? Would you give us hearts of love, and that, Lord, we would just remove everything else, drop the appearances, and just focus on our inward for you. God, we thank you for this morning, and we pray right now as we go into a time of offering that, God, you would prepare our hearts, that you'd minister to us to give back to you, and that, God, you'd prepare us for our group time. We thank you in Jesus' name.